12 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. It's June 18th, Monday. Yeah, that's another happy day in mortgage land. So much going on. And again, the focus remains on Europe. We got what's going on in Greece and what goes on in Spain. Got a lot to talk about on that. We're going to be talking about today. The overall the theme of today's broadcast is influence. What influence do these things have on us? What influence do you have on these things? Folks, we keep talking about, it seems like we're in reactive mode. What is the news saying? What can what do we do? The reality is there's a lot more you listening to this broadcast, you and your friends, your industry, your company can do to influence the outcome of a lot of this. You go, hey, come on, what are you talking about? There are things that each of us can do to have an influence on the market, and we in fact do. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the broadcast. We are fortunate to have our regulars be here with us this week, so thrilled to have them each and every week be a part of the broadcast. Let's get into what's going on in the markets. Greece has been our focus. Joe Farr again.
Hello.
I love to be over the Greek Isles, but I'll tell you, I'm not sure the Greek Isles love to be there. There was actually somewhat of a positive outcome. I mean, if you call it the conservative movement a positive outcome, which I would consider it is. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, there were no riots overnight, surprisingly.
Yeah. That's
no,
good
the election turned out, I guess, to the based on the market reaction, it was the better of the two alternatives, certainly, as the Conservative Party got more votes and will be trying to put together a government that is predicated on trying to keep the euro together and trying to work out its debts, as opposed to the alternative, which would have been leave the euro potentially and start on a path of a default right away. Certainly, the elections aren't a solution to the problems, but buy some time, if nothing more than that. Quite frankly, I thought waking up today we were going to see a big move one way or the other, and the election results are such that it's the market's just kind of saying, all right, so that's behind us now. That's one less uncertainty, but it doesn't change a thing. And so today we're seeing mortgage prices are just about where they ended the day on Friday, and the stock market's about the same as well. It's down about 30 points, but really a very muted reaction to what was a very significant event over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, there was literally some talk about the potential for rioting in the streets and what would that have been.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of speculation on what could have been. But again, we just watched the news unfold an event, and things didn't happen quite as anticipated. So let's talk aside the news of what's happening today. Markets are relatively flat, but let's get into last week. MBS prices improved just a little bit.
Yeah, they did, and both MBS prices improved a bit, and the stock market rallied, which in the past has indicated a growing expectation for QE3. And with the Fed meeting coming up on tomorrow on Wednesday, last week we saw an increase in the expectations of some form of QE3. I think, in any case, the expectations are that they'll continue. What's known as Operation Twist, and that's where the Fed invests in longer-term securities and sells off their shorter-term securities. And that program was set to expire at the end of this month. And so I think the consensus right now is that the Fed's likely to at least do an extension of Operation Twist. The events that came out last week in two areas, one was inflation, and both CPI and PPI were tame, which gave the Fed no reason to be concerned about further easing. And then the economic data that came out during the week, including things like retail sales and industrial production, which are pretty big events, the Empire State Index, jobless claims,
yeah.
All of those indicated a weakness in the economy, indicating that
right.
growth was continuing to slow. And that, too, supports, you know, the Fed maybe doing something more on Wednesday. So that's what we'll find out on Wednesday. What will they do? You know, when looking at this week, the announcement comes out
week.
At 12:30 on Wednesday, 12:30 Eastern time. And this is one of those meetings where it's going to be followed by a press conference at 2:15. So that will be highly anticipated, highly watched, and might have a significant influence on mortgage rates.
Exactly right. Yeah. But Spain is going to be in the focus again, right?
Well, you know, just as soon as the election in Greece is behind us and at least the uncertainty of the leftist party taking control is behind us, Greece is back in the news. The Greek debt rates are rising as concerns are rising. Greece just has a huge portfolio of bad loans. And its banking system is really in a tough shape.
So I mean, I'm not laughing because I'm chuckling. I'm thinking, you know, the parallel to the mortgage industry. But I mean, yeah, it is when you start really diving into it. I was reading some articles over the weekend about just how serious that situation is, and it really, in many ways, almost looks hopeless. Joe, seems like some eventuality about this that it's not good.
Well, I think that that's growing throughout many of the southern European countries, that there's not enough money out there to bail them out. And ultimately, there's going to need to be some sort of correction in the level of debt, which could, you know, that means default.
Default, so. Yeah. Was it, were we talking, who was I talking to this last week? And they said, no, a part of the free markets is default. Bankruptcy
yeah.
is just absolutely a part of it. I think it was you and I talking, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know where I heard that, but it was a clever thing. It said something to the effect of capitalism without bankruptcy is like Catholicism without hell. So,
yeah, that was a funny. I mean, but there's some truth to that. I mean, it's just a reality. And so, but we don't like these things. We don't want to think there is a consequence to things that we do. And Europe is finding out just how much. Any other news coming out this week that we need to be paying attention to, Joe?
Well, yeah, some housing data will come out tomorrow and Thursday.
Oh,
housing starts
homes,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Existing home sales on Thursday. And then also on Thursday, we got Philly Fed and jobless claims as comes out every Thursday. Leading indicators. So, yeah, I just don't see. I mean, the Fed meeting is going to drive everything. Those aren't going to have significant influence on mortgage rates. It's going to be the Fed in Europe continuing to drive the market.
Continue to be that. That's always the case. But, Joe, thanks so much. Again, if you don't have MBS quote line, folks, you've got to have it. When the markets move, they're going to move quickly. We're at the lowest rates ever. How do things correct? They correct up. Fast or slow? When things bounce up, how does it move? Fast or slow? We always know when things move, rates jump, they jump suddenly, and then they work their way down. You cannot be operating your business without this. Joe, thank you with this service, MBS quote line specifically. Joe, thanks so much.
You.
We'll be right back after this brief word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Appreciate you tuning in with us. Again, it's Monday, June 18th. We say that because a lot of you go, I'm listening to this on a download here, Dave. I need to have that reminder. What broadcast am I listening to? Okay, it's Monday, June 18th. Joe just gave us an update on all that's going on in Europe and how it's impacting us. And Alice brings us what's going on in Washington, D.C. Folks, there's not one thing happening that we're not staying on top of. Alice, good to have you on the broadcast. You were speaking in Indiana, you know, backed by popular demand this last week, were you not?
Yes, I was. I was speaking at the Indianapolis annual convention that they held there, obviously in Indianapolis, so Indiana Mortgage Bankers Association, really great group of people. I just love going there. And, you know, we had a chance to talk about what is the right loan process and, you know, how many people does it take to close a loan, right? So,
how many mortgage bankers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
It's right. So
More than it used to.
I think we had some fun with it, but I'm not quite sure we, you know, everybody's so different. Every shop is so different. So we had fun with that one. But then, of course, we had to talk compliance. And I asked that group, do you care about loan officer compensation? Do you want to talk about that? When we had this compliance breakout session. And that's a tough one. So certainly, folks, we want to give you an update on what's going on. But the fact remains we don't have a proposed rule yet. I'm checking. I'm looking at the CFPB website right now as we speak, and I don't see it. So what you've seen, though, that you can find at the consumerfinance.gov website is the outline of the proposal that they submitted to the Small Business Review Board that they put together. So that 37-page document is what everybody's buzzing around right now, and there are a ton of unanswered questions on it. So, Dave, I think we might be talking about it a little bit later in the program.
We are.
I just want to let folks know that officially, in terms of our legislative update today, we don't have anything that you can formally comment on yet. You can be formulating your thoughts about it. You can be ready to drive to Washington if you've watched some of the stuff online right now. But we'll have some constructive conversation about it after our break here. My report today, I want to give you a heads up on something else that came out. So a lot of people have said that the GSEs, that Fannie and Freddie's housing goals, did those contribute to part of the mortgage meltdown? There's definitely a group that thinks that was part of it for their need to meet these numbers to increase home ownership rates. So the Federal Housing Finance Agency on June 11th published their housing goals for 2012, 2013, and 2014. For those of you who like stats, who want to respond with accurate statistics about what's going on in the market, this read has a lot of summary of that information of what went on in the market. So it's technically their proposed rule. They're essentially not trying to change anything from 2011 to 2012. So there isn't anything in the rule itself that requires everybody to jump in and respond to, unless you think the housing goals, you know, are still causing a problem. But interestingly enough, it talks about, you know, that the home ownership rate for first-time home buyers, that move-up home buyer tax credit, seasonally adjusted overall, actually there was still a decline to 65.5% in the first quarter of 2012 after a peak of 69.1% in 2004. So 2009-2010, you know, didn't create this huge bubble with that tax credit as I think a lot of people had hoped. And it goes on to talk a lot about, you know, that the median age for a first-time home buyer was 31 years old and the median income was $62,400, and that the typical first-time home buyer purchased a $155,000 home, up from $152,000 in the 2010 survey. So those of you who like stats about what's going on in my market, if you use this as part of your marketing plan, for example, or you really just want to kind of make sure you understand the right numbers, because we hear so much in the news, I think this, you know, has some good summary information in it for you. And if you don't feel like searching for the link, you're welcome to send me an email. So the housing goal for low-income families is being proposed at being 20% of the total number of mortgages purchased by the enterprise.
Interesting.
And then within that, there's a little subset for very low-income families of 7%.
Alice, is this CRA, Community Reinvestment Act, is this a mutation of that? How would you characterize this?
Well, I think obviously what happens, what the GSEs have to meet then filters down to those who are depositories and non-depositories who get regulated by them. Obviously, CFPB is going to be putting fair housing goals on the non-depositories going forward, which is something they haven't had to necessarily watch out for. Depositories are used to having to meet CRA requirements. But, yeah, certainly there's an impact there, but it'll be status quo from last year to this year and at least going forward. So that's out there for those of you who like to pull up some information. The other thing, too, is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. You know, people keep talking about they have a regulation a day that they have to try and accomplish through the rest of the year. So we'll be watching whether they pull that off. But they do have a proposed rule out there. And the comments on this one, oh, I just noticed, yeah, until June 19th. So you have this week still to comment on CFPB's wanting to know the estimated amount of time it takes to comply with all these regulations and see, you know, put in your numbers. How much does it cost to comply? And I think that would be a really interesting piece of information for them to start.
Wow, no kidding.
The QM rule, though, is an actual proposed rule it's a comment period to kind of pull together some facts. It is reopened now. It is open for another month. And we talked a little bit about that on the last show, actually a couple shows ago, the June 4th show. So you do want to take a look at how they're trying to define QM. And in their proposal, they talk about lows and highs, lower credit scores, higher credit scores, combination of risk factors. What defines a QM? And I think everybody needs to take a look at that, because trying to define a ratio, to me, is the scariest part. How are you trying to drive a brick wall at 36% is okay without saying, and they have this much in reserves, and it's just too much underwriting trying to legislate. That's my opinion on that one. All right, so FHA credit easing. Just, hey, you know what? We don't get a lot of good news, Dave. I need just 1 minute here to bring
up. Give us some good news. Good news may not sell, but we need all the good news we can get.
We do. We reported that when FHA issued Mortgagee Letter 12-03, that was a sad news day, because now we had all these rules on disputed accounts and on collections and judgments, and it really tightened up one of the areas I always thought was an advantage to the FHA product. Well, we just got Mortgagee Letter 12-10 this morning, or actually June 15th is the published date on it. FHA rescinding the handling of disputed accounts and public records that, as they published back in the 2012-03 letter, and they got rid of the paying off the collections and judgments. I think this is a big win. It puts us back to traditional FHA for disputes and collection accounts, which really made our deals so much easier. And here's my message, folks. They changed their position on this. Think about it. This was a big credit risk position that they had to take. They wanted to be more conservative. They wanted to try and line up with Fannie and Freddie a little bit more. And they really wanted to try and, you know, obviously get control of delinquencies. And we just spoke out as an industry constantly going, wait a minute, what about this? We went back after them and said, you're changing a fundamental part of FHAs. You've got to make sure that, you know, when you did this rule, here's what didn't work about it. And look what happened. We got to change. So anybody who thinks we can't all band together and make change, you know what? I'm rooting for the underdogs. We're going to make change, and we've just got to all stick together and keep pointing it out to them, right? The advantage or disadvantage to the consumers. So I'm going to leave it at that, Dave, and there are some pieces of legislation we're watching, but we'll keep you posted on the LO comp and talk more about it later in the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Alice. Again, thank you to you and your whole staff that keeps us posted on all these critical movements and seems like tectonic shifts in the place right now, realigning things. But we definitely appreciate you bringing us all this information, Alice. And so glad to hear the Indianapolis group got blessed by listening to you give your thoughts and be able to speak and share that. It's so critical. If you have not had Alice speak at your event, one of your events, you've got to give her a call. She is just, I mean, she can bring you the news that may be difficult to hear, but bring it to you in a way that's informative and really brings it in a positive way. So appreciate it. Thanks, folks. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals, providing classroom and web-based delivery, and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from Apple application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Good to have you back with us. The Profit Doctor is also with us. The doctor's in the house. Isn't that
hey,
nice?
Dave.
He does this. This doctor doesn't make you wait in one of those funny gowns while you're sitting there back there in the back room.
He'll just work with you, whatever you dress like, whatever you're wearing, and whatever. Doctor, good to have you on the broadcast.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I even make house calls.
Yeah, you make house calls. How about that?
I do.
That is,
I do.
That is quite encouraging.
I even have a little black bag.
You got a little black bag. It's called a briefcase. You show up, and you'll just take them where they're at. Well, you know, one thing that's a big issue for a lot of guys, we're in that season right now, cash flow management, Andy. Volumes are going on, and I'd love to get your thoughts on cash flow, Puppet Doctor.
Well, Dave, you know, cash flow is how you make payroll. Cash flow is the fluid that makes the economy run. You got to have cash flow. Businesses have to have cash to be able to pay their bills. And we in mortgage banking are excited because it's summertime, and what happens in summertime is we typically have sales. More people are buying and selling homes because they're moving around, and they need mortgage finance because they can't pay cash, so we provide that service. But when we do that, that means that everybody does it. The whole country has more volume, and as the whole country has more volume, that means that all the investors that are purchasing loans have more volume. So if you have more volume and you've got lots of loans in your pipeline and they got funded and they're in your warehouse and you've got to use some of your money every time you fund a warehouse loan typically. And so you get all this money tied up, and then the investors are getting inundated by everybody else sending in all these loans to get purchased. So the investors slow down purchasing. So if you've got your money tied up in your warehouse and you've got investors purchasing more slowly and you've got a payroll coming up and your cash is in your loans, what are you going to do?
That is so true, Andy. And I'm sitting here thinking about the different ones that have called us and going, I didn't really think to think about it. And you know what? Some of these things just go by us. We should almost title this segment, it's the Profit Doctor, but it's really where the tire meets the roads. When, you know, Joe's talking about the markets and, you know, Greece and Spain and, you know, the Feds and all that. And it seems so out there. Yes, it imps us. But then we get to the point where we get to Alice, and she starts letting us know it's Washington, D.C. So, but when you're talking, this is exactly where the tire meets that road, and it's really critical. Some of the mistakes that you see that they're making that you would say, stop doing this, like the guy that goes into the doctor's office and goes, quit eating that fatty food. Okay, you can eat it on Father's Day. You can do a little indulging, but get off of it the rest of the time or quit smoking or quit. What are some quick do's and don'ts as it relates to cash flow that will help make their lives easier?
Well, the first thing is to predict it, to know when you got your volume, you know, make an estimate about you're going to go from 30 million to 40 billion, or you're going to go from 7 million to 10 million, whatever it is. If you can build a model, build a cash flow model, and we do this for companies all around the country. We have a budgeting model that goes out 5 years, 2 years, and then a cash flow model that goes out 90 days. And so you have a 90-day cash flow model, and it's assumptions. You don't know for sure exactly what's going to close, but you can run some what-if scenarios, and you can say, okay, well, based on we hit this volume and the investor purchase pace is at this level, then we're fine, everything's good. But what if the investors slow down? And it starts to let you think about, you know what, do I need to have an extra $100,000? Do I need to have a couple extra, maybe $300,000 around? And do I have a resource to do that? Can I tap one of my CDs I have at the banks? And because on the day before payroll is not the day to start thinking about
it. Not the time to bring
it
up.
No, you can't fix it. You can fix it by planning ahead a little bit, planning ahead a month, 2 months. You can see what's coming down the pike and then deal with it appropriately.
Yeah, it's like, gosh, I should have. Do you think I thought about pulling off to get gas at that last exit? Especially you see the next sign that says the nearest gas station is 23 miles ahead, and you go, and you know, everyone has this now. The most cars have this, you know, anticipated mileage until you run out, and it says 15 miles, and you see that sign. That's that sinking feeling, going, how can I make a U-turn on the freeway? How can I go back and redo it? And then, and the reality is, go ahead.
No, finish your point. I'm gonna play on your point.
Well, I think that's the reality is we oftentimes get so busy. It's that tyranny of the urgent. It's we're so involved in things. And we were talking in the pre-broadcast, just if all of us get on the phone and chit-chat, and Joe was talking about just how busy everybody is, all his clients, all of our clients. Everyone is so busy, and it's the tyranny of the urgent. And you know what, darn it all, I don't know about you, but I've run out of gas a few times by having my mind so preoccupied, I don't check that gauge. Andy?
Well, can you imagine driving a car without a gas gauge? And gas is the fuel that makes a car run. Cash is the fuel that makes a business run. And people drive around with a broken gas gauge or without a gas gauge. Isn't that just astounding? Can you imagine driving your car without a gas gauge and just hoping you're going to get to the next gas station? You would never do that. But we do it every day with our businesses. Why do we do this? It seems so basic to me.
Well, insanity, was that,
that's
one. Do we love ignorance? Do we love, you know, just, you know, adding extra steps to the rest of our lives? I don't know. But, you know, the reality is you don't have to. That financial model, talk a little bit about that, of the importance of that, and some of the better managers that you work with, Andy, that actually use this and how they can predict things. Give the positive side, how life can be when you have the right tools.
Well, a couple of quick things here. If one of the ways to become successful is to do what successful people do. So you watch to see how they do their business, run their business, what are they doing, and how they get there. And I can assure you that every single Fortune 1000 company has a cash flow forecast and a financial and a budget that where they're predicting for the next year. Every regulated depository has a budget because the examiners come in and see it. It goes by quarters for 3 years usually. So look at successful businesses, look how successful businesses operate, and then do what they do. And they do that by having a budget. And a budget will take all the revenue drivers, everything that makes revenue go up, including volume, all the expense drivers, including how many staff and how many files per underwriter, so therefore you need this many underwriters and they cost this much money, and all the expenses, and that then drives through to then get to your balance sheet, and then you do assumptions about the timing of your investor purchases, and that then drives to cash flow. And they all fit together. It's a nice little package. And once you understand what button you push to make the drawer pop out, you can always find your underwear. You've got to have a really good model. And
good
we can help you do that. It's not just about us helping. This is what it takes to be successful. This is what successful people do. So if you want to be successful, do what successful people do. Successful people have a budget and a cash flow forecast.
Such a simple concept, but so many struggle with it, driving around with a broken gas gauge. You know, you don't want to do that. It's
exactly
not a good
right,
idea. That's great. And it's so easy. I mean, the reality is, if you don't know how to do it, get someone like you to come on in. Give Andy a call. You can reach Andy at A, as in Andy, Schell, S-C-H-E-L-L, at mbs-team.com. Andy, thank you so much for bringing us the word of how to having that gas gauge working right. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks,
folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Whoop, I got to turn on that microphone here. So you know, you put the mic on hold a little bit just so you take a sip of coffee without hearing that. Yeah, that's horrible sound. And you forget to take off the mic, and then you get embarrassed. So anyway, Tony Garitano is with us. Wow. That's a mute button. Threw me off there. Anyway, he's with us, and that's another area where the tire meets the road, and it's good to have you on the broadcast. Tony, how are things out in your part of the country?
Thanks for having me on, Dave, and bearing with my technology issues this morning. I'm glad that I could be a part of the show.
Well, it's always good to have you here. Speaking of technology issues, what can the LOS offer its clients that would improve the way they interact with their system? I mean, we look at this interaction, Tony, and some things just seem to work better than others. What can they offer?
I agree, Dave. I think that, you know, if you look back at the evolution of the LOS, it used to be just a replication of the 1003, and that's basically how it started. But as I talk to more loan origination systems today, they're paying more attention to the GUI, the graphical user interface.
That's right.
And they're trying to offer lenders a more eloquent, a more sleek, a more pretty presentation that, you know, makes it easier for them to interact with the system. So I think that the new thing that I'm seeing a lot of LOSs work on is the actual look and feel of their GUI and how lenders can interact with the system and make a loan hopefully a little bit more seamless.
I think that is so important, and then getting that seamless aspect, and it's so true. It used to be just that 1003. Electronic 1003 is where a lot of the systems start out, and they've grown and grown and grown. In fact, I predict where they are going to be going. I spoke a week or so ago up in Detroit at the Mortgage Builder User Conference, and it's amazing to see these systems. That's one that's been around for a long, long time, definitely does a great job out there. And you see how these companies are evolving and what they're having, but where they're going is really fascinating. What are some of the new features that you think should be in every LOS as we look forward and move forward into the future?
Well, Dave, I mean, as you mentioned, Mortgage Builder and their user conference, I know they had about 100 people or more at that event.
Real big attendance, yeah.
You know, one of their big announcements, from what I understand, was the addition of electronic document management functionality.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, I think that if the LOS is not equipped to incorporate some form of electronic document management to allow lenders to at least move towards a more paperless process, that's something that they all need to add to their system this year, because paperless is nothing new, but pretty soon it's going to be something that you have to do. It's no longer a nice to do.
Yeah, it's really becoming a necessity. And I don't know that CFPB, Alice, I have to tell us if the CFPB is about ready to require that, but who knows? They're requiring us, they're telling us when we can do anything, what we can and cannot do in every other area. So I won't be surprised. You know, you can't kill more than so many trees at a particular time. But so what are some of the other things that you think are features that are critical out there? What's Tony Garantano, Mr. Technology's top wish list that you'd love to see in every LOS?
Well, I would like to see LOSs be more or rely more on dynamic data creation and dynamic data presentation. I mean, you talked about the CFPB mandating paperless potentially, but the FHFA through UMDP is already mandating a more data-driven process. So, I mean, to your point, I mean, it's, you know, who knows when the CFPB is going to get in the game and tell us what we have to do. So why not be prepared and be there already and, oh, by the way, you know, save some money and create a more efficient process to boot? I mean,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with being a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's just amazing the amount of features that people tolerate. We don't want to change the system because it's – I mean, I know the leg's broken, and I know we're kind of dragging that. I know we're driving a car without a gas gauge that really works, but you know what? The pain of not making and going through a conversion is just too much, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to make any changes. We're just going to stay with the same old thing. You just can't operate your business like that, folks. So important. Tony Garantano, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your thoughts on what's important and what should be in every LOS. So I hope you have a great week, Tony. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to join us here.
Thank you, Dave.
Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. Again, the overriding theme of today's broadcast is influence. The influence that others are having on you and the influence you can have on others. We've been staying for some time here just recently. A new soundbite we've got is, hey, the feds or the regulators or the politicians are getting in your business. Are you getting in their business? And you say, well, Dave, I can't have any influence on that. I am just one little voice out here. You know what? I would beg to differ. Even our kids are figuring it out. There's that movie a bunch of years that came out called Ants. And if you remember that, the grasshoppers, a few of them, were influencing and getting a whole colony of ants together to negative. And sometimes I look at those kid movies and going, why is it we don't, as adults, don't figure this out? We have far more influence on our futures than we might otherwise think. Just think about CFPB. Some of the feedback they have gotten already has made a difference, and Alice reports about that each and every week. We're talking about, you know, different things that are out there. There's a guy by the name of Rob Crispin that writes a Mortgage Daily Digest. I mean, it's just a blog. He gets out there and sends out his thoughts. It's one of the most widely read blogs out there. Rob just takes the time to sit down and have an influence by sharing his thoughts. There's another guy out there, Bill Coppedge, has a website and a blog called Mortgage News Clips. And it's a great summary. He takes time early. He's one of these guys that gets up at ridiculously early hours, way before Andy Schell and I do. And he is up and out there, and he is cutting and pasting the most significant articles and puts them in the thing. He is digesting the news so you can look at it. If you don't get that blog, you should be connected to it. MortgageNewsClips.com, great blog to be looking at. And then there's all the other services. And you call, I'm tired, I don't have time to read. Well, I had that thought and I started this radio broadcast, you know, over 3 years ago. And now we have over 89,000 people that have downloaded and listened to this broadcast. And it's beyond anything we ever thought. We appreciate, by the way, so many of you that take the time to write us and tell us that this radio broadcast does make a difference. Tony, up in the Pacific Northwest, up in Everett, Washington, recently posted on my Facebook page. If you guys want to connect and become friends, go to Facebook and look at and type in David, obviously you know how to spell David, last name Lickin, L-Y-K-K-E-N, become friends, and then you'll see a lot of announcements of things that we're doing related to the broadcast, and it's a great way. But Tony posted a really nice, made me feel good post out there about what we're doing and the difference we're making in the industry. Tony, thank you so much for that message post. Wish you and everyone there at Mortgage Advisory Group so all the best, and as well as many of you across the country. I'd love to name all of you, but that one that Tony wrote over the weekend or this last week really blessed me and really made me feel like, you know what, we are making a difference. And I started thinking about you, the listener, sitting there listening to this broadcast, sitting at your desk, at various stages of frustration or discouragement or seeing opportunity. How are you seeing this market? How are you taking and responding to the CFPB? You know, this morning my daughter left for cheer camp. I know, it's one of those things, and she just did not want to go. And I was talking to her about it, sitting there sipping my coffee before she heads out the door, and I said, you know what, your attitude is really bad, and you're a cheerleader. I mean, you're one of these kids, and you're one of the ones that is a leader out there. Fix and change your attitude, or you're going to be influencing for the negative those around you. And I heard this little voice saying, tell the radio listeners, listen to your attitude. Listen and be aware of the influence that you have. Each and every week we get Joe Farr coming on, positive influence, positive message about what's going on in the market, sees the glass always half full, Alice Alvey. Dear God, if Alice can stay positive and get on the air, reading and studying all that's going on in the world of regulations. And then Andy Schell, he watches some of the biggest financial train wrecks out there, and he shows up every day. Okay, I got my prophet doctor robe on here, or my gown. I got my stethoscope ready to come in and try to save another one, try to help them. Folks, you can make a difference. You go, well, yeah, but I'm just this processor, I'm just this loan officer, I just got this small mortgage company, I'm a small business owner out here. I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. You have the ability to influence, if nothing else, those closest to you. Your family, your company, those that you work for, around with. If you own a company, certainly you have an influence. And into your community. Folks, get out there and get making a difference. Get an influence. So let's get back into this. That's my little rant for the morning. I want to get on and
talk about some of the CFPB stuff that's going on, flat fee, and get more of Alice's thoughts. Alice, you're an influence out there. You just spoke in Indianapolis. You're talking about the influence that you have by just putting out the right attitude about this. And let's talk a little bit about more about this. Then we want to get into a host of other areas as well.
All right. Is my mic on?
Your mic is on. You're
all right. You know, I don't have my button. I can't tell if I'm mute or not. So anyway, you know, Dave,
I got that. I got that same little problem. All right, you're
I need
on.
A light. Anyway, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you have to try and be positive. You know, you have to laugh once in a while at the industry. Otherwise, you go crazy. But you know, where we're at with loan officer compensation, just at a higher level. I've said to people, sometimes if you just go straight to Appendix C of this publication, you start to kind of get a little bit of a feel for it. And fundamentally, in Dodd-Frank, this has been approved, folks, since last July. I mean, you know, so you feel like we're a little bit late on the bandwagon here. And so the CFPB is really looking at that they're trying to loosen this up a little bit. The fact that the Dodd-Frank came out and said consumers aren't paying upfront points. And they're coming back, you know, CFPB is coming back and saying, no, that's a problem. Consumers need to pay upfront points when they want to. We can't lock that out. So how do you structure it, at least from the CFPB's viewpoint, so that a consumer completely understands, you know, the impact of bona fide discount points? And I think we all have to admit over time the differentiation between origination and discount from especially a broker standpoint, really just a company revenue standpoint. You say, okay, those are dollars coming into my shop. Does the customer understand the difference? And so Appendix C outlines that this does affect retail and wholesale. And it is all about fundamentally saying that the CFPB is saying, let's allow discount points, but on top of that, then it would have to be a flat fee. So that's where people are kind of going, okay, well, what does that mean? On the other side, they are going to allow some loosening. It appears that you could be compensated, loan officers could be compensated through a, you know, kind of a profit-sharing bonus structure. So, you know, everybody has to still try and weigh out these pieces, and we don't have an actual rule yet to work with.
Well, I think the most significant part, Alice, is a lot of these comments have come in, and they've read them. I mean, they're actually reading these comments, and you say, well, yeah, but they could give a flip. Well, you know what? Even the hardest, most, you know, righteous thinking, I'm doing what's right for the consumer, even if they have that attitude, it's going to have an impact if we can respond properly. Joe, you've seen the difference when people respond and how they respond and the difference it can make. Your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to bring about the fact that we're going to have Mitch Kiter on the call next week. And I bring that up because Mitch made a plea at the Texas Mortgage Bankers Conference that now more than ever is the time that you need to get involved and you can have an influence. Now more than ever, because the QM rule, the QRM rule, all these rules are on the table to be discussed, and it's going to impact, it's going to shape the mortgage industry for you know, years and years to come. So, Dave, your plea is a good time in that it can be very, very helpful to your lifestyle, to your you know, to your business, that you get involved and you exercise your influence over your future right now.
And if I can just throw in one quick thing I read this morning as an example of the influence. When we get together and we talk about you, good ideas come about. And I thought I saw an idea that came out from the one trade group was saying, what if just the LO comp rules just applied to what would be defined as subprime loans? So CFPB has all kinds of authority to change this. And let's give them ideas on how to put this in the area that caused the problem, subprime-type loans, and make LO comp stay the same as it is today for Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, USDA. I thought that was a great idea. But that only comes about when people get together and talk constructively.
Yeah, that's true, Alice. Andy, jump in here. I know you guys, I could just feel your comments, your brilliance ready to blow out of here.
Well, you know, the bottom line point is effectively communicating and have your voice heard, because having your voice heard, you could stand on top of a building with a megaphone and say stuff and people would hear you, but they wouldn't necessarily understand what you're saying. And so, you know, it's a really interesting debate among theologians about, or missionaries and evangelical, do you stand at the college dorm entrance with your bullhorn and start, you know, screaming out scriptures? Is that effective? And I think some of the same thing happens here. We need to figure out, how do you most effectively communicate the message you're trying to communicate? And it's been my experience, and I used to do lobbying for federal contracting. It's been my experience that when you try to send a note just to the senator, what's going to happen is that one of the staff's going to get it, they're going to look at it along with the other 10,000 pieces of paper they got, and it's going to get filed. When you send something to your state representative, the pool of people that are contacting the U.S., when you send a letter to your U.S. representative, it's not, instead of 1 out of 10,000, it may only be 1 out of 2,000. So it's still going to be a big pile, but it's important to start with the place where you can get the most visibility, and the U.S. representative is probably the place to go. And while you'll address it to the senator, to the congressman, another way to do that is to actually call the congressman and ask who on their staff handles this type of issue, because all the congressmen have staff that deal with that. So what you want to do is you want to get to know the staff. Actually have a conversation with them and say, I'd like to explain to you how this would affect my business. And then you send the letter directly to a person you've actually talked to on the staff, not the representative themselves, because they're not going to look at it anyway. Send it to the staff, get to know the staff, start working with the staff and say, this is important. I want to communicate to you how this affects my business and what this means to me. And then send them the letter with, don't send lots of long paragraphs. It's a short introduction and then bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, and then conclusion. Make five or six, four or five key bullet points. That's it. Send it to them. Get their interest started. And then you can start a dialogue. But you got to get to a person. Don't stand there with a bullhorn and hope you're going to be effective, because you're probably not.
Yeah, you know, that's a great thing. It's like the guy standing on the corner preaching whichever message religious it is. You know, most of us just walk by the guy because he's not being effective and connected with it. You know, Alice, how to be effective is, if you're getting and communicating CFPB, or if you're communicating to your regulator, your representative. Representatives can have such a big impact. Senators at the top of the list, representatives certainly as well, especially when you speak to their staffers. They are there to listen. That's what they get paid to. You go, yeah, but they never do, Dave. Well, they're never going to hear you if you don't write them and talk to them. What's going to happen, you know, if there's just silence? It's that old thing. Was there a sound if the tree fell and there was no one to listen to it? If there's no one there, it's that whole argument, you know, philosophical argument about the tree falling in the woods. I guarantee if there's someone there, that will be heard if you step up and do it. Now, it's how you do it, though.
To Andy's point, you know, I think one of the things you've got to keep in mind is it's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They're all about protecting the consumer. And so your points that I think will make the biggest impact is, what is negative for the consumer about a flat fee loan? Think about that, right? If I have to flatten this cost out, then this low-mod group of customers, which, by the way, all the stats are right there in the FIFA proposed rule. If you want to pull out that 25% of Fannie and Freddie's housing goals are geared towards low-income borrowers and as a part of the home purchase share, that's a lot of folks. Then you pick up the part of the consumer that is the moderate-income customer. They're going to pay the price for this. They're the ones who are going to get squeezed by a flat fee. And you have to someone's got to start crunching numbers and say, what is that number? And then maybe they'll start to get it, that we don't need to hurt our good customers, but we need to just prevent the subprime problem from escalating again in the future.
There's interesting. The chairman of the vice chairman of BlackRock, Barbara Novak, came on and was talking last week about Armageddon scenario. That's really strong language. If they continue the program of mortgage forgiveness. And, you know, you say, yeah, Dave, I don't have the influence of a vice chairman of the BlackRock group. Give me a break. I don't have that kind of influence. You know what? It'd be amazing what you could do by quoting someone. I like Carl White. He's got some great material out there in the social media. You know, Scott Hesmuth, who I'm up there in your neck of the woods, does the same thing. It's, you know, quote somebody. Find someone that's out there that you think has a point that's well made, and then quote them. You don't have to have all the original thought in the world out there, but it's most important that you're quoting something that's got substance to it. The worst thing you could do, as Alice has been talking about, is just get on and do the whiner thing. You know, like one person said, you want some cheese with that wine? If the reality is it's just not going to work.
It's not about you, folks. It's about what is that? What is it, what is CFPB's mission? Alice, you make a great point. CFPB is all about what? Consumer protection. There's sometimes we look at the, what they're doing out of that area, and it feels like consumer suppression than protection. They look like they're suppressing the economy, suppressing home ownership, suppressing price. And oftentimes, in the effort to do something what is perceived to be good or needed, and I'm not saying they are, but if the perception is that's their mission, they miss it. So how's that going to happen? It's you getting on. I'll tell you this. I want to encourage everyone listening to this broadcast, write down the editor of your newspaper. Get on the phone and call them. Get on the phone and talk to one of the top news radio shows. You go, Dave, you're on the radio all the time. I'd be afraid of it. Yeah, well, I was too. Andy was there the first time Fox called me up to have me be on their broadcast. I swore they put that little mic right next to me, you know, right over my heart area to pick up my voice. I talked to the producer just before we went live. I said, do you hear that? And he goes, hear what? I said, it's my heart beating. I think it's going to come out of my chest. I was so nervous.
It was really loud, huh?
It was loud. But the reality is you know, you got out there. I was willing to make a fool of myself just because I want to make a difference. And now look where it's at. I'm on national television all the time. Where would it be for you if you choose to roll up your sleeves and get involved? Andy, your thoughts?
Well, first off, Dave, when the red light goes on, you turn on. You know, some people
well,
shut down
all
the
have that ability.
Cameras. No, you do. It's amazing to watch. I love watching you do it because it's just so amazing. But you're right. You got to get in front of the people, and they're just, you know, if you're an originator and you're out there prospecting, calling on realtors, calling on builders, talking to customers.
Yeah, exact same point.
You're used to dealing with this stuff. Just the key is, like Alice was talking about, know what you're going to say. You know, I was talking about condense it down so it's understandable and know who you're going to talk to. Alice is talking more about exactly what to say and how to say it. Talk about why it's good for the consumers and so forth. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. You just got to take some time out of your day and do it.
You know your audience. If the consumer financial protection is out there protecting, tell everyone how they're screwing up protecting the consumer. That will get their attention. If you're talking to a news reporter that's out there, you need to tell them how what's going on is going to be screwing up the real estate industry. And they're going to listen to you. I guarantee you. And if you do it in an succinct way, we're all busy out there. Joe, you were talking about this before we got on the broadcast. We're talking about just how busy everyone is and how the tyranny of the urgent can just keep us from moving, making some progress, and making a difference.
Well, and I'm going to give everyone an easy way out because you are so busy. Join your association's PAC. There's
a great
deal of benefit to come from providing. Everyone's got a lot of activity right now. You're making lots of loans. You should be making a good bit of money right now. Use some of that money to provide to your PAC to help them help combine a voice, and theoretically that voice ought to be very directed toward the benefits of the consumer and the benefits of making home loans available to the consumer. But they're going to be good at putting that together. The national PAC, your state association PACs would be a great way to help you influence the market.
Or the Mortgage Action Alliance. You know, if you don't want to contribute money, the Mortgage Action Alliance through the Mortgage Bankers Association is completely free. You know, then at least you can be involved and just hit click and send on any of the opinions and work that they may be pushing out from the MBA.
Such a good point. So many good points. I wanted to bring up something that's going on. You're going to see some articles coming in. I'm going to be quoted in one today about the FHA streamlined refinance loans. It says the case numbers that were signed after July and June 11th, as Alice has been talking about, will be subject to the new mortgage premium structure. The upfront fee premium will be 0.01. regardless of the base loan amount, and the annual MBIP will be 55 basis points. And then a lot of people are saying, well, are we going to see streamlines go away? It's real interesting. There's some lenders that have indicated that they're not. If they don't have it in their portfolio, they're not going to continue it. Others are saying, you know what, we're open to it. We're going to stay up on that. Any thoughts on that? Let's start with you, Joe. What do you think? Any thoughts on what you're hearing out there as it relates to the MIP abandoning that program?
I think it'd be a great opportunity. You know, there's a great opportunity for people to benefit from it, protect yourself on the reps and warrants. But those are, I don't know the program well enough to know that how they've gotten around those. But, yeah, it's a great program.
The streamline, FHA streamline is outstanding. Alice?
Well, I think that we're hearing a few challenges come along because obviously your challenge is the FHA has a net tangible benefit test. So some of the folks,
yes,
you have to try and go, okay, what's going on with the interest rate? And this low MIP has worked out well for being able to get the monthly payment down dramatically for a lot of customers.
Right.
But there are higher defaults on the streamlines. A lot of lenders are shying away from them for very valid reasons. So
that's
you do
exactly
need to know your
right.
risks before you jump into this.
Yeah, and for a lot of people are saying, they're looking at the rate at which these loans are defaulting again. And so the streamline refinance for those that originate these loans is a great product. You make a lot of money doing that. But it is something that we're seeing that may, in fact, be another one of the changes in an industry because of these changes in the MIP. So let's run around the horn. I'm looking at the clock here. We've got 4 minutes left on the broadcast. Some of the other news items that are catching your attention out there. Andy Schell, let's go to you. Anything that's really, especially on the accounting side. I mean, do we have any new FASB rules that are going to be out there adjusting it, or are we all just bracing ourselves for what is coming out of CFPB?
Well, I think we're just bracing ourselves for what's coming out of the CFPB. The next big thing in accounting is the adoption of the IFRC, which is IFRS, which is International Financial Reporting Standards, which will totally replace GAAP. But, let's worry about the CFPB. Let's worry about LOCOMP. Let's worry about doing things right. Let's get your cash flow forecast and your budget in place. And let's just focus on making money today and not worry about that yet.
Alice?
Well, we've got a lot of folks who are asking about trying to make different transitions in their business, right? They're trying to decide whether or not they can operationally handle retaining their own servicing. They're trying to expand their FHA business. They're just trying to be better at what they do, thinking the CFPB is going to come in. So I do highly recommend that you take some time out, as busy as you are, to look at your operation A to Z and check all your compliance. It's amazing when you just sit within your own bubble and you think you got it all down. I was just at a shop last week, and we found four things where they went, wow, when did that change? Wow, I've been doing that wrong all this time. So I get an outside view looking in of your operation, I would say, is something to get on the horn right now before the CFPB shows up in your office.
Yeah, they're getting involved in your business. Why not get involved in theirs? You got to get that. It's just so important. Just, get someone in there to talk about it. One thing, and Joe, I'm going to be with you. I want to get a market update just before we go close out the program, so I'll be with you in just a minute. Another thing that's coming out, there's a lot of news about ResCap out there. Are they continuing? Many people have been selling loans to them. What's going to happen, out of the bankruptcy? Is Berkshire Hathaway, and specifically Warren Buffett, going to be in there? Could it be very interesting things to be seen on top of? What's so significant about that one, that information is the fact that he's in there as aggressively, not aggressively in the sense he's overpaying. He didn't overpay anything, I don't think. There's been a few mistakes that he's made, but most of the time he's in there. But just the fact that Warren Buffett is in there, Berkshire Hathaway is looking as red cap as hard as they are, it is another one of the data points that goes down. It's the three, the three strikes you're out, three times you get hit. This is not an out. I am really finding this is very encouraging. We watched Lou Ranieri come in and make the investment, acquire New Penn Financial. They're offering non-conforming products just outside of agency. We watch Ross, Wilbur Ross, through Tom Malone's organization, come in and pick up the other company, Cunningham Mortgage, Hank Cunningham's company, and some things. Watch what happens with ResCap. Folks, it's going to be rather significant to see that the potential impact that could have on our industry. So we appreciate you tuning in and being a part of us each and every week. Next week, we're going to have Mitch Heider. Thank you, Joe, so much for reaching out to him. Mitch, we're looking forward to having you on the broadcast and giving us that full perspective of everything going on out there. And, Joe, what's happened on the markets? Quick update.
It's MBS prices are holding pretty steady for the day. Big event Wednesday at 12:30 Eastern time, Fed statement.
Fed statement, and that'll be the big market mover, folks. Stay tuned, what's going on. Appreciate you tuning in. Tell others it's the broadcast. Have a great week, everyone. Talk to you next Monday.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.